The book of Colossians is written to the church in Colossae. Colossae is in modern day Turkey. It's one of the cities along the trade route that Paul journeyed on, and it was one of the places he stopped. It's very close to Laodicea, which is a church mentioned in the book of Revelation as the lukewarm church. The term lukewarm, you know, comes in our modern English, comes from the you're not hot, you're not cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, like if you drink some water and it's lukewarm. Laodicea is nearby, but Colossae is a church that Paul went to for 2 years, about 2 years. He was there, living there, working as a tent maker. Not really sure what that job fully was. The biggest user of tents in the Roman world was the army. So this is a very speculative theory that maybe he was making army tents. Paul, the military contractor. That's a very speculative theory. You don't have to believe it or not. But the Roman army used a lot of tents, and they wore out a lot of tents. But he is there working and teaching. And so we kind of get a sense that this is material that he's talked to them about before, but also maybe trying to remind them of it in a new way. The book of Colossians is one of those books that really focuses on the positive. There's just such joy in it. And you can see that he says that, you know, we were all rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have forgiveness of sins. This idea of the radical transformation of a human life and a human community into the kingdom of his Son. Paul was a church planter. This is one of the churches he planted. The city of Colossae lasted until they had a lot of earthquakes. And I think by like 400 AD, the city was no more. They abandoned the site. And after several earthquakes over a number of years. And so the city of Colossae there's churches nearby, but the community that Paul started shifted, moved, transformed, just as all church plants do. Paul was there for 2 years and moved on. And yet the legacy is there, because here we are reading a book from a church planter to his congregation that he started. And it wasn't just him that started it. It was his people. It was the people that started the church. They're still there. He's gone. They're still doing it. It's really amazing. And the theological impact of what he's writing is about Jesus. And this may not seem really wild and crazy to us today, that saying really wonderful things about Jesus, how in Jesus dwells the whole Godhead bodily, that line may not seem that controversial today. Yeah, Jesus is God. In Jesus, God dwells bodily. No big deal. Well, in Paul's day, this was a radical idea. It was transformative, that the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who Daniel prayed to and gave Daniel visions that we read about in the past, the God that conquered the Babylonians, conquered the Medes and the Persians, the God that rescued his people over and over again, this God dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ. And that means that in worshiping Jesus, you are worshiping God. And in following Jesus, you are following God. And now you are part of God's kingdom through Jesus Christ, through what he did on the cross, through the blood of his cross. He made peace for everyone, it says. So this is Paul's essential teaching, that through the crucifixion of Jesus, through this event which happened in space and time, there was Roman soldiers involved, there was Pilate involved, there was the Sanhedrin involved, and all these other things that happened. Through this historical event, something beyond history happened. God chose to save the community that God is forming there in Colossae. And Paul is excited about this, and he says, you know, everything that we do is part of this proclamation of the good news, that there is forgiveness. We live shackled by our past in many ways. All of us do, and to some degree or another, and some people more than others, who have never found that kind of forgiveness that says, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. This is the proclamation of the gospel that people in Colossae needed to hear, and people today need to hear. It's the same. And this requires that we study these texts and say, how forgiven are we? How forgiven are we? Are we forgiven just a little bit, or just for the stuff that we're sorry for, or just for the stuff that we kind of made amends for in some way? Or are we really forgiven, like fully forgiven by Jesus? Was it a full forgiveness? And the answer is yes, it was a full forgiveness. Even though the people in Colossae weren't perfect, Paul writes about that a little bit, and even though we're not perfect, we are forgiven, and we live in that forgiveness. We live in the power of love, because God has loved us through the cross, through the resurrection. And that is something that Paul risked his life to tell these people by staying there, and still loves them. So he's remotely pastoring them from a long distance, but you can see the care and concern for them that he has in his life. Through this pandemic, we've been remotely caring for each other in many ways. Our little flock here has done that and continues to do it. And bigger churches have done that too. Churches of all sizes have tried to figure out ways to get that same essential message of God's good news in Jesus Christ out to people that are far away. And it's happened. It happened then, and it happens now. Paul, of course, is using the technology of the day, the written letter that can be carried from city to city all the way to the destination of Colossae, where they're going to read it. And they're not just going to read it once. They're going to read it again and again and again. They're going to copy it again and again, share the copies all around the Mediterranean world that speaks Greek. And this letter can be read by us today. It's inspired by God because it points to God and inhabits God's love for humanity. Amen.